Week six or so of Seeds, and we're really in the home stretch of this journey. But it's been such a rewarding ride, especially if you are seeing fruit already. And I know some of you are, because you're communicating that and you're telling me and testifying about some things that you directly attribute to the prayer seeds you've been planting, the faith seeds that you have been planting. And still there are others that have put seed in the ground, and God is doing his thing. Our responsibility is to keep the soil right, to keep our hearts right, and to allow the process to happen, to allow the process to unfold, because we know that growth is happening. If we've learned anything in this process, if we've learned anything the last few weeks, we know that God wants us to grow. And this series has taught us that we are partnering with God. I don't think any of us that have been a part of this series will ever think again, well, I'm just waiting on God. I'm just going to sit back and wait on God. No. God, it's a partnership. We may be waiting on the Lord. The Lord is waiting on us, and we're in partnership and working in tandem, because there is a God part to this process, and there is a you and I part to this process. So when it comes to our relationships, or when it comes to our spiritual growth, or when it comes to the miraculous or the inner healing that we seek in our lives, we know that God is doing his part, and you and I are doing our part. So if this is your first time joining us, I promise you this will make sense, and you may be joining a series already in progress, but I would love for you to visit YouTube, the Church Cove, at YouTube, and you can catch up and listen at your leisure, and I believe the word will bless your life. But so much of this centers around the law of the harvest. What is the law of the harvest? The law of the harvest says you reap what you sow. The law also says you reap more than you sow. And the law of the harvest says you reap long after you sow. And sometimes we learned that we reap where we did not sow. And that's true, and we've seen it. We've seen it about all kinds of seed. But all of this is true about generosity as well. So I want to talk to you about the next seed as we get ready to close out this series soon. I want you to see this next seed, because it's impossible to have a series on seeds and not talk about the impact that this theology has on our finances, the impact that it has on our generosity and on our giving. And this is not in terms of money only. Some of you are thinking, wow, I visit this church and they're going to talk about money. But I just hold on, because we have a holistic approach when it comes to generosity. It's our hearts. It's our hands. It's our time. It's our talent. It's the skill that we possess. It's the resources that we have. And we need to know how this works. We need to know what triggers the return. How do we enact this blessing or this benefit in our lives? Because God has a way of multiplying what we entrust to him. God has a way of multiplying what we sow, what we plant, what we put into the ground. In fact, Jesus said some soil would produce a harvest of 30-fold. Other soil, he said, would produce a harvest of 60-fold. And then he said there was soil that would produce 100-fold what had been planted. Is anyone even mildly curious how that works? Anybody looking for the instructions on that? I mean, I would like to find out about that hundredfold return. Give me the deets on that, because I want to know how it is that God works so that I can make sure that my seed is planted in that kind of soil. I want to be a part of that kind of miracle. I want to be a part of that kind of breakthrough. And I don't want you to worry. We're not changing our theology about money today. This isn't name it, claim it, sow it, and get a Porsche in return. I'm not trying to get something from you today, but I absolutely believe that God's word can get something to you today. I believe there is principle here and there is value here that can literally change our lives. And in all the ways that we've seen how God wants us to grow, that absolutely includes our generosity as well. Because the law of the harvest applies to our finances. It applies to our generosity. It applies to the things that we give and the ways that we give. So let me ask you this question today, just to get you thinking a little bit. Where are you good with money? you're just thinking about your own life and your own financial situation. Where are you good with money? I'll give you a couple of options to think about. Maybe you would say, I'm good at spending. Anybody good at spending today? I see some hands. You're good at spending. I mean, if shopping were an Olympic sport, you've got the gold. You've got the gold for sure. Another may say, you know what? I'm good at finding a bargain. I mean, I buy stuff I don't need because it's so cheap. I'm good at finding a bargain. I will shop till I drop at a thrift store. Any coupon queens, any coupon kings in the room today? Yeah, I'm usually behind you at the grocery store. Y'all take forever just shuffling through that whole file cabinet you travel with when you go shopping. But you're saving money. You're saving money, and maybe you're a saver. Maybe you are committed to saving, and your mattress is lumpy because of it. I've found that usually the saver marries a spender, and then y'all spend years fighting about money. it's an amazing thing how that works. What about givers? Any givers in the room today? You like to give. See, everybody is good with money in some way or another. Generosity plays a big part in our lives. But I want to ask you today at the outset of this teaching, what is the soil around your generosity? What is the condition of the soil around your generosity? Let me ask it another way. How is your heart when it comes to giving? How is your heart? What does your heart say? Is it something that's, I wish I would have waited to come on next Sunday. I wish I wouldn't. This is not my favorite subject. What is the heart when it comes to giving? I love Paul in the text that we're going to be working from today. He is taking the teachings of Jesus and what he has learned from the Lord and is applying them to the believers in Corinth. Paul is saying, hey, me and the Lord have worked this out. I've lived this. I'm having a lived experience, and I've found this to be true, and I've studied and worked this out, and so I'm bringing this truth. I'm bringing this truth to you, church at Corinth, and he's talking to them about sowing seeds. He's talking to them about planting generosity and what happens when we do this, because the Jesus life equals the generous life. There really is no way around that. If you're really going to serve the Lord with your whole heart, there is going to be some aspect of you that's going to take on the nature of Jesus, and you are going to become generous in some area of your life because that's who Jesus is. Don't fight it. Don't run from it. Don't try to, I'm going to be the first spiritually stingy person. That's not any kind of goal to achieve. No, if I'm going to live this Jesus life, I'm going to let the Lord bless people through me. I'm going to let the Lord make a difference in other people's lives through me. And along the way, I am going to be blessed. Along the way, I am going to be strengthened. Along the way, I am going to be renewed because living for Jesus equals generosity. And so 2 Corinthians chapter 8, that's where we're going to hang out for a little while today. If you want to turn there or get that opened up on your Bible app, or if you're taking notes, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we're going to begin at verse number 6. Paul is writing, he said, "So we have urged Titus, who encouraged your giving in the first place." He's the one that introduced this to you. He's the one that began talking to you about generosity. And he said, "So we've urged Titus, who encouraged your giving in the first place, to return to you and encourage you to finish this ministry of giving. Since you excel in so many ways, in your faith, your gifted speakers, your knowledge, your enthusiasm, and your love from us, I want you to excel also in this gracious act of giving." Paul talked about the ministry of giving. I love that phrasing. I love the way that he worded that. It's so important. It's so special. I think sometimes we think of spiritual things in the Bible as I'm studying the word, or I'm in a small group, or I'm passionate about prayer, or I love to worship the Lord, or maybe it's serving. I love to serve and be a blessing to other people. And each of those are great. They are spiritual and they are ministry. But Paul is saying that giving, generosity is also a big deal in the spiritual life. Being generous is as much spirituality as any of those other things that you may list as being important. And he says, you know what? You're excelling, Corinth, in so many ways. You have big faith for miracles, and you are producing great preachers, and you have this awesome knowledge about the scriptures, and you're fired up for God, and you're fired up for our leadership. But he said, I want you to finish. And Paul is literally talking to them about a commitment they had made. They had promised to give. They had promised to be faithful. They had committed in this area of their lives, but they had not followed through. They had good intentions, and they had made a commitment, but they got off track. And Paul said, you know what? I believe you can be world-class givers. I believe your generosity can make a difference. I believe this church at Corinth, I believe you can be one of the most generous churches that I have the privilege of leading. You know what? I feel like Paul feels. I love everything about this house. I love what God is doing. I love what we're becoming. I love what we are growing into. I love to see how God is moving among us. I love to see how our worship is growing and the passion for the things of God are growing. But I don't want to just stop at any you know top 10 type ideas about what makes a great church. I want us to be great givers as well. I want our generosity to be on fire. I want us to see God's blessing so strong and so great among us and through us that it gets the attention of the world. Anybody want to be generous for the things of God? So we taught in the last couple of sessions, a seed not sown will not grow. A seed not sown will not grow. And it's true. It's what Paul is getting at for them. They had good intentions and they began the process, but they got distracted. Anybody ever gotten distracted? Maybe you hear a message like this and you're like, oh, that's right. I knew there was something I was working on. I made a commitment at the first of the year. I made a decision. You know what? I'm going to be generous. I'm going to put God first in the area of my finance. Or I'm going to give God, a part of my time. And I'm going to serve and make sure that I keep focused on that. But then, you know, life comes at us and circumstance happens. I've seen the devil do this too many times. I've lived it. I've lived it. You make a commitment. I'm going to give. I'm going to be faithful. And all of a sudden, you know, the car that's been running great, all of a sudden the light comes on. And it's the light that costs a lot of money. You know, it's the expensive stuff. Or you have some unexpected fees pop up with the school, or something happens at the house, you know, and man, I planned to be generous. I made a commitment, and here comes life. Here comes all of these distractions. Here come all of these things that mess up my good intentions. The truth is, good intentions will not make anything grow. If you go back to that piece of ground that I've been working on throughout this series, that piece of ground out in my backyard, I can go out there every day and say, all right, piece of ground, I want you to produce watermelon. But I've not planted any watermelon seed there. All right, piece of ground, I want you to bring forth tomatoes. I can say it every day. I can say in Jesus' name. I can dance over top of that ground. I can weep and my tears puddle on that ground. But nothing is going to come up because I have not put seed in the ground. It's the same with our finances. Oh, I need a financial blessing. I need a miracle. Have you put any seed in the ground? Have you given God anything to work with? Have you planted anything in His presence? Because it's very rare for something to come from nothing. It's very rare. I don't want to live and take that chance. I don't want to be dependent on something coming from nothing. So I've got to put seed in the ground, because a seed not sown will not grow. It's just not possible. So I have to be intentional about my generosity. Now more than ever, because we're living in a costly culture. We're living in a culture where everything is being exacted from us and demanded from us. If you're going to be generous in 2025, it's not going to be by accident. It's going to be because you live intentional about your generosity. I love Isaiah 32 and 8 says, but generous people plan to do what is generous, and they stand firm in their generosity. Notice he commends them not just for wanting to be generous, but that they plan to be generous. They plan for generosity, and then they stand firm in their generosity. They stand firm in it. They say, you know what, I'm doing this no matter what. I'm going to be faithful in this area of my life. I'm going to be committed in this area of my life no matter what. And you better get ready for some what, because what will come when you make that decision, when you make that choice, when you decide, I am going to be generous. Get ready for the what, because it will come from every direction. But if you will stand firm in your generosity and say, oh, he told me you were coming. I heard him. Yeah. I knew, enemy, you were going to try. I knew the light was going to come on. I knew something unexpected was going to show up. Something was going to happen. But tell you what, I have chased the unexpected my whole life. I have chased those check engine lights my whole life, and it's done nothing for me. So I'm going to stand firm in my generosity. And I'll take care of the light when I can. I'll take care of the unexpected when I can. But I'm going to put God first in my life. I'm telling you, when you make up in your mind and you stand firm in your generosity, the lights will start taking care of themselves, and the unexpected will start resolving themselves. Why? Because God said, I'm not going to let you give to me and you lack in all of these areas of your life. I'm going to make sure there is no lack in your life. I'm going to take care of it and resolve it on your behalf. They stand firm in their generosity. They follow through. They won't allow circumstances to change the posture of their heart. Because the truth is, we plan everything now. We have spreadsheets and budgeting apps, and we give every dollar a name, and we plan vacations, and we plan remodels, and we plan travel ball fees, and we plan our subscriptions. Anybody else about to be subscription to death? You got everything. Everything wants to be on subscription now, and it looks so enticing because it's just $4.99. But when you add that $4.99 to the $6.99 and the $8.99 and the $9.99 and the $19.99, I mean, you have subscription fatigue. You're going broke paying a bunch of subscriptions. But we plan all of these things. But I've learned that rarely, if ever, do we plan for generosity. I mean, we're spontaneously generous sometimes if we're really moved by the need. But these people, Paul was they were commended. They were commended for planning their generosity. If we only ever give spontaneously, then we will never excel at generosity as Paul is teaching. Because there is a significant difference between giving and being generous. I want you to catch that today because that's important. It's a big difference between giving and being generous. Let me say it like this. Giving is what we do. Generous is who we are. Giving is what we do. Generous is who we are. Giving is the act of generosity. Giving is the result of generosity. Giving is an action, but generosity is a mindset. Giving can be an act of the will, but generosity is a posture of the heart. That's why I asked you a few moments, what is the soil around your generosity seeds? What is the soil of your heart? What is the heart around your giving? Let me go a little further in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Look at verse 7. I am not commanding you to do this. This is not something you have to do. Not something you're being forced to do. Not saying you're going to go to hell if you don't give. That's not the theology of this house. It's not the belief or the conviction of the pastor today. I'm not commanding you to do this, but I am testing how genuine your love is by comparing it with the eagerness of the other churches. Paul is teaching. It's not give or else. It's not manipulation toward generosity. That none of that's good, and it doesn't last. It doesn't work. If you give by compulsion, if you give only because you're moved, then and it's going to keep taking story after story after story to move you. And we can't come up with enough stories to do that. And there's a lot of confusion about this. There's quite honestly, there's a lot of arguing about this. I see it on social media often. People bent on tearing down churches and leaders and pastors, and it's all very disheartening if I tell the truth. You get somebody's post about, I don't know why churches are always, and I mean, there'll just be comment after comment after comment of people just tearing down, and God forbid there be some sort of financial scandal, or they find out how much some pastor paid for this or that, then it's just a big pile on, and we're all judged by one person that's abusing or misusing and that kind of thing. And all I know to tell you is that we try to operate with integrity here, and there's a lot of checks and balances and people that look in and audit and people that care and oversight and all of that. There's nobody at the Church Covington getting rich. We're not teaching this today so that somehow we can work out a raise and all. That's not what this is about. This is about advancing the kingdom of God. And Paul said, I'm not commanding you to do this. I'm trying to teach something to you. This is not about a fight over tithing or giving to churches or nonprofits, or is the tithe a command of God, or is giving an essential part of your faith? If you're doing all of that, you're missing the point on both sides, because the most important metric will never be a percentage or even an amount. According to Jesus, it will be the heart that will determine whether or not you are generous. And as much as I might want to, or you may want to, you can't deny that money was important to Jesus. He talks more about money than he does in hell combined. He talked about money. Money is a dominant theme because money and things are often the biggest competitors with God for our hearts. I'm going to say that again because I don't want you to miss that. I want to make sure I don't miss that. Money is a dominant theme because money and things are often the biggest competitors with God for our hearts. That's why Jesus says in Matthew 6 that we can't serve God and mammon. Mammon is a word for stuff or things or possessions. That's why we need to talk about generosity today. Because when you get your heart involved in it, it changes everything. Jesus' teachings will always focus on the inside. It's focusing on the heart. You'll know a tree by its fruit. What's on the inside will show up on the outside. If selfishness or self-centeredness is on the inside, guess what? It will show up on the outside. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 6, beginning at verse 19, do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Because our heart, ladies and gentlemen, will follow what you place the most value on in your life. He said, don't store up, don't hoard, don't invest in things that will not last and will not matter in the long run. And catch this, pray on this. Let's strive to live this. What is that, Pastor Darrell? We pour and don't store. We pour and don't. I'm not saying we pow. Some of y'all grabbed that too quick. We pour and we don't store. What does that mean? God created us to be a conduit of blessing rather than a container of blessings. What is a conduit? That is something that it flows through a conduit. meaning God may put it in my hands, but he knows that he's going to allow me to keep a portion of that, and he wants me to give a portion of that. And so my life is this conduit. I keep getting raises. I keep getting bonuses. I keep getting blessed. And the Lord knows that I'm not going to be stingy. The Lord knows you are not going to be stingy, that you're going to put it in the flow. You're going to receive something and say, you know what? I'm not going to be selfish with this. I'm not going to hoard this. I'm not going to take all of this for me, but I'm going to make sure it stays in the flow. I'm going to make sure it stays in the conduit. And you know what happens? Somebody else gets blessed by that. Someone else's life is touched by that. Someone else's heart is ministered to because of that. That was beautifully exampled here just a few weeks ago. Sydney, I don't see her here today. She's one of our college students at UGA, and she was getting ready to go to the Dominican Republic and on a missions trip. And so you and your generosity, we were able to take care of the rest of her bill that flew her there and housed her and took care of all of that. But I said, Sydney gonna need some spending money. And so she came over here, and you folks lined up all across the church, and over $800 you gave her, and it was beautiful and so sweet right there in the aisle after church. And she was just a puddle of tears. She said, Pastor Darrell, is it okay? I've got friends that want to go on this trip that haven't been able to pay the rest of their trip bill. Is it okay if I share some of this with them? Is it okay? What is she saying? I want to be a conduit. I don't want to put all of this in my pocket and hold this for just me. I want to be a conduit. Guess what? She helped other people go and still had money to have a great time, still had money to spend and shop and do whatever it was that was in her heart to do. But when we live our lives as a conduit rather than a container, I'm only going to hold so much in my container. My cookie jar is only going to store so much. But if I'm living as a conduit, God says, you know what? I can trust you. I can trust you. I can trust you. I can stand here boldly today and tell you, God could trust me with $1 million. I'm going to give it. I'm going to sow it. You mean you're not going to keep any of it? Oh, I'm going to pay something. Don't worry. I'm going to go out to eat. I may come in here and have some new little fit on or something. I don't know. I'm going to have something, sure. But I'm not about to put that in some container somewhere and say, well, look what the Lord has done in my life. You know why? Because $1 million will not be enough ultimately. Whatever little bit I store is not going to solve the problem forever. I want God to be able to trust me so that he can say, you know what, I saw what you did with that first million. Let me send two your way. I saw what you did with that $1,000 bonus. Now, because I know I can trust you with that bonus, now I'm, y'all may not be hearing me today. But if you live your life as a conduit, meaning it can pass through your hands and make a difference. Lord, hear me loud and clear. I want this church to be a conduit of your blessing. If you give it to us, we will give it to them. We have no desire. You can ask our elders. You can ask our financial committee. I have no desire to have millions of dollars in the bank at this church. We got an emergency fund. If God forbid we had to cancel church today because of the storm, we would have been all right. We would have gotten through the week. I want to have enough just to handle emergencies and have enough to help people when the need arises. But we have no desire to have millions of dollars in the bank. Lord, pay this building off. Let us just be a conduit of your blessing around the world. You say, Pastor, do you really mean that? I mean that. All 6'3" of me means that. I want God to use this church as a flow and as a blessing. And if you give it to us, God, yeah, we're going to pay bills. We're going to be caught up on everything. We're going to take care of what we need. But Lord, it's going out of here so that we can be a blessing, so that we can make a difference in someone's life, because we pour and we don't store. So as the blessings come, as the blessings come down in my life, living that James 1:17, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. We let those blessings pass through us and not just come to us. And in this way, we are storing up treasures in heaven by pouring here on earth. By pouring here on earth, I am storing up in heaven. And whereas my earthly investments are unstable. Anybody been watching your 401k the last few weeks? Up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down. It's unstable. It's unstable. I believe it's all going to work out. It's going to work out. But if I have my eyes on that every day, man, I'm going to be miserable and frustrated and what in the world is going on? My earthly investments are unstable, but my heavenly blessings cannot be taken away from me. Why? Because they are eternal. Paul is not commanding. Let me race to a close. Paul is not commanding the Corinthians, or is he commanding us today to give our money, our time, our talents, skills, or energy? When Paul talks about this, he's always going to bring it back to the heart, because it's always about doing what is in your heart, not in compulsion, not because someone is threatening you, hanging something over your head. It's just about how is your heart and as it relates to money, as it relates to financial things. It's always inside out and not outside in. That's why we need to be praying today, Lord, what do you want me to give? What do you want me to give? For some of you, that may be the scariest prayer you've ever prayed, because you're so afraid God's going to ask you for that thing you got held back. I don't know if he will or not, but if he does, I promise you he's got something better to replace it. So what is the motive for generosity? We see it in verse 9. Chapter 8, you know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty he could make you rich. Paul gives us the motivation for generosity. And we're like, I mean, why would I ever do that? Why be irrationally generous with what I have? But you see, the motive for generosity among the people of God finds its root in the generosity of God towards his people. It's not a guilty conscience. It's not us trying to earn favor. It's not us trying to validate ourselves as good people. Here it is. We have received generosity in such lavish ways that we become overwhelmed, and then generosity flows out of us. Because God has given so much to us, we realize I'm not deserving of this, and so I need to give it away. And the more you and I partner with God and how he works, the more we become like Jesus. That's what Paul is getting at. Though he was rich, for our sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty he could make us rich. Let me share just a couple of verses as we come together. Get over to verse 9, or chapter 9. Same verse 6 there as well. Remember this, Paul says, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. We're full circle back to seeds. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. Because we've said it over and over about every idea and thought in this seed series. You reap what you sow. And you reap proportionally to what and how much you sow. If you plant a couple of seeds, you're going to get two plants. But the one who plants and sows generously gets a generous crop. It's the law of the harvest. Sow sparingly, reap sparingly. Give sparingly, reap sparingly. So if we apply the law of the harvest to our money, our time, our energy, our skills, then what are we left with? He says in verse 7, you must each decide in your heart how much to give. Again, planning to be generous. I have to decide, what am I going to give? Do this in my heart, not in my head. If I plan this in my head, I'm never going to give anything because I'm always going to need it. I'm always going to reason that out and I don't know, I can't do that. I got to have this over here and I've got to have that and I've got to satisfy this. We do this in our head more than our heart. You say, but Pastor Dale, I'm nervous. I can't afford to do this. What if I don't have enough? Well, he goes on to say in verse 7, don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. When it comes from a generous heart, when it's glad and cheerful, watch what God does. Verse 8, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. He said, I'm not gonna watch you give and fund my kingdom and fund my house and me not bless your life. It's not his will for you to give to the church and you not have enough on your table. It's not God's plan. But he said, if you give, I'm going to make sure. For God, verse 10, is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Verse 11, yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. Because we pour. Father, I pray today for hearts in this house. I pray, Lord, as we build our lives on your word. It's not every word in Scripture, but a word about finance. It's not every verse in the Bible except the verses about giving. No, Lord, we build our lives on those as well. It's the whole counsel of God. It's cover to cover, line upon line, precept upon precept. I pray, Lord, for every heart in this house, regardless of our thinking about finance, regardless of our thinking about generosity. I pray that you would speak to us. What would you have us to do? How would you have us to respond to this word today? What are you asking in my life? It's what I want to do. Just what you say.